morning, and we're starting the Amen. Well, we've had a sweet time of ministry, and I love to just let Jesus be Jesus. Don't you? I love that. I really do. So we're continuing a series. His finished works is our rest. And we're specifically talking about the Sabbath. And if you missed out on that, you need to go back a few sermons, okay? Because I got to pick up right where I left off. And so I don't have time to qualify everything I'm talking about today. But hopefully you go back and you listen on podcasts or the CDs and catch up with us. It's worth it, okay? We're getting some great reports from people about the message. It's not the messenger, it's the message. It's what Jesus says through this that's very important. Okay, we're talking about the Sabbath right now. And we've, at this place in the series, come to know that the Sabbath is more than the observance of a certain day. Okay? New Testament says that the Old Testament is pictures for the New Testament. It's pictures for us. And so the Sabbath, even though there was purpose in the Sabbath, it's a picture. And the picture of the Sabbath is Jesus. And when you see that, it really opens up your eyes and causes you to celebrate in your life. And it, because it describes a New Testament reality that it's relationship with God. It's a picture of your relationship with God. And it's about how we relate to Him and how we rest in the Lord. Okay? Because it's not by our works. That's really the description of grace. It's not by our works, lest any man should boast. It's not by what we do. Christians are not achievers. They're receivers. The Lord wants to do it. He wants to provide. We heard that miracle this morning. He wants to give you hope. We heard about that miracle this morning. And the Lord wants to supply. See, He can do what man can't do. He can do what you can't do. And He loves being involved. And so that's what we mean by resting in the Lord. It means to come to the place of believing. In your heart, you believe and you rest. And the Lord shows Himself mighty. It becomes His battle and not yours. I'm telling you, that's a good word. Amen. I'm telling you, you do the battle, and you know what we're going to have? A bunch of burnout believers. And they're everywhere. Wore out, burnout, discounted believers saying, well, it didn't work for me. But I'm telling you, when you come to the place of rest, place of believing in your heart, we see God's works. And He makes it His battle and not yours. And there's a big difference. And all the people said, amen. Yeah, somebody give me an amen or I'm going to start the series all over. All right, Hebrews 4, 4 and 5, we're here for in a certain place. And remember, that's a terminology that means it's on the table. It's like when my big mama used to say, it's on the table. Hey, you come running, okay? And so this is a reference there. It's ready. It's on the table. It's prepared. That He has said this about the seventh day. And God rested on the seventh day from all His works. Boy, that's a beautiful picture. We'll get to that. And it's saying that the believers are the followers of God, that they forfeited their part in that. They didn't accept that. They didn't agree with God. And He said, they shall not enter my rest. I want to tell you, God won't force you. He will not force you into His goodness. But if you'll cooperate with Him and say yes to Him, He'll lead you into all the goodness He has for you. Wow. Oh, I'm telling you, don't you want that? I believe you do. I believe that's why you're here. Okay, Sabbath rest is for the people of God. It's a supernatural rest. And it means blessings provided. Provision is provided. Relationship is provided, okay? You may think that your relationship with someone is like stale water, but Jesus has proven He can come along and take plain water and turn it into rich wine. See, that's the presence and the power of God in a relationship. Genesis 1:1, you ever heard of this? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. Right, that's enough. That's enough, right? Okay, I could preach on that for a month, but I won't. In the beginning, God, and look how the Amplified brings it out. He prepared, He formed, He fashioned, He created the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm going to just say this. I don't do apologetics. I know that was mentioned this morning. I don't do apologetics. I know that there are people that have this as their ministry. I'm not throwing stones at them. I'm just saying I'm not supposed to go there. I don't go there. It's okay if they do. I'm not going to criticize that or throw stones at it. There's some benefit to it. But I don't go there because I don't have to prove and explain his existence. Because the Bible doesn't go there. And so I don't have to go there. Okay? The Bible doesn't go into apologetics to communicate the truth about himself. Okay? It says this, in the beginning, God. God said it, that settles it, it's okay. Let's agree with it. Can I explain it all? No. But I don't have to. Okay? Do I have an opinion? Probably. But I found out a long time ago trying to tell other preachers, the world don't need your opinion. The world called you to be a man of God, just say what God said and let that be it. Okay, thank you very much. The Bible doesn't go into apologetics to communicate the truth about himself. He doesn't do that. Romans says this, and this is where I get this from, and we're rushing to there. Romans describes that there is a planted knowledge, an intuitive knowledge. In other words, that God plants a seed of knowledge in the heart of every person, yes, on earth. He describes that there's a planted knowledge in man to know that there is a God. I know that, and I've ministered to some atheists. I spent almost a whole night with one that told me, he just outright told me, he said, you know what? I was born an atheist. I've always been an atheist. I said, no, you haven't. You're a liar. Well, that's okay for me to say. Now, look, they may have resisted that intuitive knowledge, that seed knowledge in them that there is God. They may have denied that truth, and apparently they did. But God planted that truth in them. Now, they can throw it away. Excuse my East Texas. They can flush it. But Romans says that leads to resist or to flush the truth that there is a God. That it leads to levels of darkness, and it leads to perversion. You say, Brother Tim, that's politically incorrect to say. Yeah, it is. But it's biblically correct. Okay, Romans 1, 18 through 20. And I'm just going to kind of give a little sideline here. There's people in the ministry, and I'm not saying this is a foreign thing, that come to a place of desert in their life. And the enemy comes to try to cause them to deny God. I've ministered to a number of them. If they follow that line of thinking, of doubt and speculation and unbelief about God, and they come to a season of denying God, then I want to tell you something. It's even possible for them to go into levels of perversion, darkness, that they would have never dreamed they'd gone to. And they spend their life convincing themselves that it's okay. And twist scripture around to try to convince others that where the darkness level they're in is okay. I'm just telling you it's possible. So it's possible for you. It's possible for the lost. Romans 1, 18 through 20. For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. Do you see that? Okay. For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. All right? Are you with me? Verse 20, saints, for ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, and that is his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So here we go. This is why I can say what I say. Sir, men are without excuse. This is what God's saying. Men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. All right? I've had two people in my life that I've witnessed to, one recently, that I've witnessed to that have said this: I've never done anything wrong. Now, I want to tell you something. My response: you're a liar. I've never lied. You're lying right now. Okay, because this is what God says about you. Okay, I know our culture, people say, you know, you can't say that kind of thing, be authoritative on something like that. Yes, I can. Because the Bible is. The Bible is true and man's a liar. That's what the Bible says. At one time, they knew deep down inside that God's real. Genesis 1 and 2, God created the heavens and the earth. They didn't evolve. It was not happenstance. It was not evolution. It wasn't a random, out of chaos creation. It was divinely done. The Bible provides very specific details, and these are good for us to meditate on because they show us pictures of where we are. It shows us pictures of Jesus and his love for us. Anyway, here we go. When God created Adam and Eve, he didn't create them on the first day of creation. He didn't start out with them. They were the last to be created. As a matter of fact, he didn't create them until the sixth day. Actually, the end of the sixth day. Okay? Why? Well, Adam didn't know how to swim, and he would have had to swim for 3 days before God created dry ground. I'm trying to be a little funny, but I'm showing some truth here, too. What I'm saying to you, his environment wasn't ready. God created everything in full maturity. In other words, when he created a tree, it wasn't a sapling. When he created a tree, it was a full-grown tree. Okay? Full maturity, grown trees. You know, the funny question people like to ask, was it the egg or the chicken first? Well, you know, read your Bible, it was a chicken. He created full-grown chicken. And then the chicken had eggs. Those trees already had fruit on them. Because he created the garden and it was perfect. The trees already had fruit on them. It was perfect temperature. If I'd have been there, it'd probably been a little cooler than what you like. Perfect temperature. I got more insulation. But perfect temperature. It was a perfect garden. Now, if you know me very well, you know I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love animals. I love trees. Even where we live right now, the latter part of the 1980s, I was in that neighborhood to go visit someone. I drove down that street that we live on right now, Double Oak, and I saw all the trees. I said, I just remember saying this, Lord, I love this street. All the trees remind me of Deep East Texas, you know, behind Iron Curtain, the Green Curtain. And I just love this. I'd love to live here one day. You know, it wasn't an official prayer. Okay? It was just an expression. Well, a few decades later, about three of them, when the beautiful blonde and I are looking for a house in the area, I come down that street, and all of a sudden I had remembrance. You know what? Wow. And there's the house there, and it was one that we wanted, and you know, the Lord worked it out. Now look, I love animals. I love trees. I love nature. It's therapy to me. I'm telling you, I love nature. I go out to the ranch, Pastor Don's ranch, out there in Canton, Texas. I get on the back porch. I am so blessed. Coyotes sing to me. Little squirrels come by. See the horse out there. You know, it's just good for me. But let me tell you something. I'm not a tree hugger. I'm a God lover. I hugged a beautiful blonde. I'm not a tree hugger. When I see trees, I see firewood. Okay? Because I love them big fars, you know. And I had somebody helping me bring some wood to the house. It's got to be. Oh, well. I just told him. I said, there's a lot of romantic in them wet wood right there. They laughed and said, sure enough, that's good. I love to build a big fire and have the saints over and have the beautiful blonde there in front of the fire. But, you know, I'm all about being a good steward. Now, the Bible teaches us to be a good steward of our environment. And I want to announce this. There is no room for any mistreatment of an animal. It's just not. Okay? Bible says that a godly person, okay, will take care of his livestock. Now, yours might be a meow, or I might be a little tiny dog, but that's your livestock. And a godly person is going to take care of them. And a godly person is going to feel hurt or wounded if they're not taken care of. That's got to be a priority. Okay. That being said, it's wrong to put animals on the same level as God's ultimate creation. Okay? Man, I found out when I moved to the big concrete city that when I'd be talking about this big buck I killed, not everybody was rejoicing. What's so funny, when they came over and ate it and I didn't tell them they rejoiced. But listen, you don't put animals or plants or trees on the same level of God's ultimate creation. All right, we're the ultimate creation of God. I want you to know that. I preached a message years ago, some of you might like. Shoot a deer, walk on grass, cut down a tree and bring me firewood, dig coal. Because God provided that for us to enjoy. Okay? He made it for us. Okay? It was all made for us because we're the crowning jewel of His creation. And at the end of the sixth day, Adam and Eve were created, and they immediately entered into rest. Not into work. They entered into rest. Everything was provided. You say, well, I like fast food. They had it. It was on the limbs. It was good stuff. Everything was provided. Everything they needed was there. Someone say provision. That's your God. Someone say rest. That's God's desire for you. And here it is right here. Here's the picture becoming a New Testament reality for us right now in 2018. Father, in the new covenant, already provided everything for us by the finished works of Jesus. That's why on the cross He cried out, "Finished!" It was an announcement below the earth, on the earth, and above the earth. Friend, it was done. And we can't add anything to it. He provided for us access to the Father and all that God wants in this life and the next for us has been provided. And so that's very, very exciting because we enter our salvation into rest. And we need to enter into it. Rest, believe, and practice being at rest. He's not surprised by our needs. When you have a need show up and you tell God, God, He already knows. And you know what? He's already provided the answer for what your need is. Before you ask, it's already been done. God's not shocked that someone's sick. He's already provided healing. He's not disturbed by someone's troubles. They're not in heaven going, oh my, Holy Spirit, Jesus, come, what are we going to do? It's not that way. He's already provided more peace than we could ever receive and enjoy. You see, our part is to practice receiving by grace through faith. And what's neat is the Holy Spirit will teach you how to do that personally. Okay? Do not let your heart be troubled. That's what Jesus said. Said it to the disciples on probably the worst 24 hours of their life. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. For him to say that means there's a choice. Okay? But when it is troubled, he's made a way. He's already provided more grace and peace than we can ever use. And you can't use it up. God's already provided for every situation. Our response is to rest and believe. Now, that place of rest is sometimes a fight to get there. Between the eras. Okay? With your belief system. But God says, fight to get there. Labor into rest. Come into the place of rest and we receive. And so that's beautiful about the Lord. Adam and Eve entered into a finished garden. I'm telling you, everything they needed was there. And when you're born again, your birthright through Jesus. It's already done. It's all of it already done, all available. Wow. That's exciting. So let's learn and labor into his rest. Before I ever came along, the Lord provided everything I need through Jesus. In everlasting and in this life. Life and life more abundantly. Okay, you say, well, Pastor, are you walking in all of it? No, I'm not walking in all of it. I don't walk in it perfectly. You say, well, why after all these years, why are you not? Well, I'm a slow learner. But I want to tell you something. I'm making progress, and it's worth, Jesus is worth it. You're worth it. Everybody else around you is worth it. Amen? And so let's go on this journey together. You know what our part is, Father? I receive. You provided through Jesus. I receive. I give thanks. You give thanks before it shows up. And you know what? We enjoy his rest. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10. So then there is still waiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. There's one available for us now. That's what he's saying. Not just this, what was in the Old Testament. There's a rest for us. For he who has once entered God's rest also ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors. That's what Pastor Tim's been preaching right there. Just as God rested from those labors peculiarly his own. And so Sabbath pictures rest. Now, I'm not talking about laziness. If you're thinking laziness, you haven't heard the sermons, go back. They're free. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed and spoke good of the seventh day. I want to tell you that God's blessed us to enjoy rest. And he set it apart as his own. And he sets his own apart for the rest. Isn't it? Oh, I just love that. And he made it special to him. Because on it, God rested from all his work which he created and done. And so we see in here that God rested. Well, Pastor Tim, you mean God was wore out? He was tarred? He was wore out? No, 1,000 times no. He wasn't tarred. He wasn't wore out. Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint. He does not faint. He does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And so he does not get weary. Rest. Well, what's he talking about? Well, probably one of the best terminologies, and I started to use Miss Gina on this, but because of time, I won't. So you have something to thank God for today. But it goes like this. You know, all the times I've been in court, it was my job for a while to be in court. And all the times that I was in court, I was excited when the judge would ask the state, anything else? The state rest, Your Honor. I like that. It meant I was getting out of there when he'd ask the defense. Anything else? The defense rest, Your Honor. Yeah, yeah. Now, I want to tell you, when the Bible is talking about God rest, it's like an attorney. You know what it means? Hey, it's what Jesus said. Finished! Hallelujah. Hey, I rest my case. Amen. When God rested, it meant he was finished. And there was nothing else to be added. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth put forth tender vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself, each according to its own kind, upon the earth, and it was so. Let the earth bring forth tree and fruit and seed. I want to tell you what that means. It means that God instilled inside of his creation, all of it. He instilled inside of his creation, procreation. In other words, he put inside of us the ability to procreate. This is his will. This is part of his blessing. This is a part of the way he operates. He created original cows, trees, and humans. And he created the principle of procreation. Now, I know we rejoice. I've got 8 grandkids right now, and I've told all of them, keep practicing. Because I want more of them. But I want to tell you, see, God put it in them. He instilled in them to have babies. And I want to tell you a little secret that points to us. I'm going to point it out in a little bit. But love life produces little ones. Love life produces life. Well, I'll tell you, that meant a lot to me. Okay? God's the God of life. And so there's no doubt he's involved. And listen, when little Lila, my latest little grandchild, when I'm holding her, little Lila, I want to tell you, it's very, very precious. I know, I say, this is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Amen. It's a personal touch from God. But at the same time, see, because the Bible says he formed her in the womb of her mama. God did good. But at the same time, he planted the principle for little Lila to be born when he created the heavens and the earth. Because he put in us procreation. By him all things consist. And when the beautiful blonde and I do marriage counseling, there's a little principle that we recommend, because Bible says that in Bible days, that whenever a couple became married, they were to have a year honeymoon. Woo-hoo-hoo. A year honeymoon. I'm telling you, that sounds better to me than it does to y'all, I guess. But I want to tell you something. In that year's time, when he was released from all civil responsibilities, he was to concentrate, according to the Bible, on making his wife happy. Mm-mm-mm. But on top of that, you know, in a year's time, being together every day, they got to know each other very well. And that sets a foundation for the rest of their life. Because once them little ones come along, they're 20-year projects. I started to say something longer than that, but it's supposed to be about 18, 20-year projects. But it goes like this. What we tell people, because in the modern day, we don't practice that year honeymoon. We send all of our kids on a week honeymoon. The Bible talks about a year. So we figured, this is Tim talk, Tim mathematics, but we figured it'd take about 3 years to get to know each other like you would if there was a year's concentrated time. You understand? And so we just tell couples, you know, it'd probably be best, we're not telling you what to do, it's just a recommendation that you ought to take the first 3 years of your marriage and just get to know each other real well. Now, I'm not messing with God, I'm just talking about a principle. Okay, this is not a command, it's a principle. And so what we tell couples, use some wisdom. He's the giver of life. But let me tell you something, it's the man that sows the seed. I don't need to go in detail, do I? Thank you, because I got more to preach. But understand, it's the principle of procreation, and we have that ability. Now look, God rested. Because he said, it's done. And he did a good job. When Jesus said, it's finished, he did a good job. He doesn't have to create. I'm going to put it to you like this. Boy, the state fair this weekend is going to be packed. Because it's the 2 clearest days that they've had. And I want to tell you, people are going to be out there. And there's going to be a lot of corn dogs eating. I didn't get one this year. Going to be a lot of burgers, going to be a lot of corn dogs eaten this weekend. Okay? And so God's not looking down from heaven saying, oh, State Fair, Texas, a lot of corn dogs, burgers being eaten. We got to go create some more cows. No. He don't have to do that. Because he has put it in creation to procreate. It's already done. It's already settled. Man learns to cooperate with the principles that God's done. Are you getting it?
Yes, amen.
Okay. The principle of procreation has been put into motion. Let me announce to you that the earth is not fragile. I know there's people out there at point that, you know, the earth is... Hey, the Bible says the earth will moan and groan in the last days. There's some moaning and groaning taking place. But let me announce to you, earth's not fragile. When I was doing crusades down in Central America, I had this one... I spent a couple of weeks with a bush doctor. Wow. I had spent more time. But I'm telling you, I learned so much from this bush doctor. But he took me out to his place, and he had planted trees that minister life and healing. Plants that minister life, and he was teaching me and showing me about that. I was so fascinated. And he loved the Lord. It was just beautiful. But this is what he said. I said, man, you have cleared off a nice area. He said, yeah, but we have to fight it every day. He said, if you don't fight the jungle every day, it takes your place back. And I want to tell you, that was a life word to me. Okay? Look, the earth will replenish if it's given a chance. Because he put this in earth, and he put it in us. God's already showed us. If you're a tree hugger, I want to announce something. The Bible says it's going to burn one day. It's all going to burn one day. But until then, let's be a good steward of it. But here's the point I want to make, is that love life produces new life. Now, I want to tell you something. If a church is not experiencing new life, it's not God's fault. Because he has put the life of Jesus in your spirit. That's what the Bible says. When you accept Christ, the Spirit of Christ comes to live in your spirit. And you are a new creation. Old things are put away. All things become new. I'm talking about new life. And he come that we might not just have new life, but abundant life. I'm talking about when God says abundant life, it's life to the most. Now, I want to tell you, that's the normal. And when a church is not experiencing new life, there's a blockage somewhere. I want to tell you what. All sickness is a result of a blockage. If you have a blockage in the brain, it's a brain attack. See? Yeah, stroke. That's what I mean. It's a brain attack. If you have a blockage in the carburetor system, it's a heart attack. If you have a blockage in the emotions, I want to tell you, that's a mess. Okay? I'm telling you. So all sickness is a result of a blockage. I want to tell you something. If procreation is not creating, there's a couple of reasons why. One is, may not be any love life there. Number two, it may be a blockage. Are you with me? And so what I'm sharing with you is that it is God's design. You say, well, Brother Tim, procreation, that's physical. No. Yes, but there's a picture of the spiritual. And I want to tell you what, a group of people, a person walking in the love life of Jesus will produce new life. You say, Brother Tim, are you talking about new people? Yeah, but there's more than that. We're talking about a person that's walking in the love life of Jesus will receive abundant living. John 10:10, that's what Jesus said. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so I'm telling you, this is the birthright. It's the birthright of cows to have cows, of trees to have trees. It's the birthright of humans to have humans. It's the birthright of the church of Jesus Christ to receive the abundant life of Jesus. Amen. And so the question is, where are you at? Where are we at? See, this is something leadership has to consider. Because I want to tell you, we will see these seats filled. We're going to see multiple services. And it's not because of a skinny preacher. Okay? It'd be because of a mighty God. But it'll be the result of people in love life with the Lord. And love life reproduces life. Sheep reproduce sheep. Am I clear? Okay, I'm here to tell you, this is for us. And our part, it won't be by our works. It won't be because of Pastor Don's smartness. Okay? Pastor James or Pastor Tony, it won't be because of that. It won't be because of our mighty number. It'll be because of a mighty God. But I want to tell you, when people are in love with Jesus, fruit is reproduced. He said, be fruitful and multiply. You think that was just for the trees? No. That's for the church of Jesus Christ. And he's got that designed for us. God adds the increase. But we practice resting, believing, and receiving. God designed us to be fruitful and multiply in all areas. From rest, cooperate with God's works in you. And God's works will be through you to bring him honor and glory. Okay? He loves it when we bring much abundant fruit unto him. He loves it. That's what he's for. I'm fixing to pray for you. Thank you all for joining us on podcast. We love you. We're for you. Thank you for listening. I'm sharing with the saints here. We're for you. It's our joy and our privilege to stand in the gap with you and believe with you. And you know what? These brothers here, these pastors are real shepherds, and they'll do it. And I'm asking you to pray for us, because this coming week we're going to be in a pastor's advance that we're having down at Pastor Don's ranch. I dared not call it a pastor retreat. We're not retreating. We're advancing. And so we're believing God for the Lord to show himself special, to give us wisdom. I love these brothers. I'd die for them. But I want to tell you something. We need to walk in the abundant life of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Okay? We have needs. We have areas we need to walk in and we need to grow in. So you pray for us, because we want to have an ear to the Lord. We want to see the Lord this weekend. And I know you do. You want that for us. And I love you. I think, Pastor James, I'm just going to pray over the saints and let them go, because we've already had some ministry time today. But if you have something you want prayer for, these pastors, we're here to pray for you. And you're the most important part of our day here.
Amen.
And we're willing to pray for you. We thank the Lord for you. So thankful for this family being a part of us. Thank y'all so much. We celebrate that. Thankful for our guest here today. We consider it an honor that you're here today. And just know that we're praying for you. We want to be a help to you. Well, let me pray for you. Father, we give you thanks that because of the finished works of Jesus, that we can have expectation to walk in your goodness this week. And Lord, we just submit ourselves to you. We yield our hearts to you, and we confess that Jesus is Lord. We confess Jesus is Lord of this church. He's Lord of our families. He's Lord of our lives. And Lord, we give thanks that because of the finished works of Jesus, we declare this is a healthy week in the name of Jesus. We stand against all sickness and disease, and we declare that Jesus is Lord of these bodies. And Lord, we trust you for a divine touch. We release the healing of the Lord in this place. And Lord, I thank you that you desire for us to prosper. I pray over these precious ones that you will prosper us this week as a church. And that, Lord, you will prosper us as families and individuals. And I just declare in the name of Jesus, this will be a very successful week in the businesses and the lives of the people. And I declare in the name of Jesus that, Lord, as we enjoy your love life this week, that we're free to enjoy your love life, that, Lord, we will walk in the abundance. Lord, more than enough, so that we can share with other people we come in contact with the goodness of God. I pray that. I release that to be so. And Lord, we give you thanks for what you're doing. Lord, it's so sweet to hear your voice today and to be touched by your spirit. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen and amen.